Dear ones, let's unite our hearts in prayer. O God, our Father, who art in heaven, we come before thy holy face in this evening, thankful, O Lord, for this day and thankful for this hour. Lord, we have thy word before us, and before we would open thy word to read from it, we pause to give thee thanks for this opportunity, for this hour that we have thy word before us, O Lord, in thy Spirit's presence here with us. And we pray that thou would fill us with thy Spirit, fill us with the gifts that can come only down from above from thee, O Lord, that this hour would be spent in honoring thee, O Lord, in learning of thee and of thy ways and being refreshed in mind and spirit, strengthened, warned, and led by thee, O God. So bless our hour together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's reading, I just desire to read one verse, to focus on one verse. It's found in the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. So, Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. So in this very, very, it's a lengthy chapter that is talks about sin and grace. I'd like to just really just focus on this last verse, like I said here, and it goes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." May He bless this reading, and let us kneel before. As we prayed, and we know, and it gives us great comfort to know that when we gather together, that the presence of God is here with us. We have to also come to that stark realization and truth that Satan isn't barred from this sanctuary either. And so we know that he is going to be here too. And he's going to be here to try to dissuade, present a different path, or merely wait until tomorrow. As the questions of life and death come into our hearts and souls, there's going to be a struggle that will take place today, this evening. And so we've entered into a battle. And in recently, I had a sister that told me that there's someone that doesn't attend our churches, but she heard a sermon from the church, and she made a comment that, like, your church is really, it's very sharp, distinct, like black and white. And I'll just paraphrase the response. Something to her from the sister was, well, that's the Bible. It's life, it's death, it's light, it's darkness, it's truth, it's lies. So it's contrasts, sharp contrasts. And that's what we have before us in this evening. There's some sharp contrasts that are brought out that you and I are being brought to make literally decisions on tonight. You know, many times we get deceived. And as parents, when we speak about our children, or even our siblings or someone who we're waiting for to come to the Lord, we say, well, in God's timing. No. Tonight there's going to be a struggle, and the decision will be made by every one of us here. So God calls. Now, we may not listen to him, but that's his timing is today. We can't say, well, God has a timing that in 3 years, he's going to want you to go to sin for 3 more years and then he's going to save you. No. Now we're going to, the contrasts are narrow road, wide road, which leads to life, which leads to death, and so on. And those are choices that you and I make. Now, what we have before us here is the contrasts are wages and gift. We see sin, we see God. We see death, we see eternal life. Extreme contrasts. And when it speaks of sin, or a wage is something that you and I earn. We earn it. It's ours. We agreed to go to work, and we're going to receive a wage for what we do. And so when we get that wage, it's ours. That's what we got. You don't even have to say thank you, really, because you earned it. It's a wage. So the wage, the earnings for sin, the wage of sin is death. That's earned. It's yours. You deserve it. You wanted it. You worked for it. You sinned for that wage. Knowing the outcome of it, you chose to take that wage, which is death. So that sounds pretty harsh. That I would make a decision for death. And yet, it tells us the wage of sin is death. So if we think about sin, we always like to say, and of course it is, what is the definition of sin? Missing the mark that God sets. And so it's missing the mark, but it's far beyond missing the mark. It's a rejection. It's a rejection of the truth, of God, of grace. This chapter is a chapter on sin and grace. So what shall we say then, as Paul so famously, well-known, I should say, says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Again, there's sin and grace. So the rejection of grace is the acceptance of sin. Jesus says, in the Epistle of John, or the Gospel of John, speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit, he says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will reprove the world of sin. And then here's what he says about that. He says, of sin, because they believe not on me. So the sin is not believing on Jesus. And the belief is the belief that transforms, that creates a new man. So the Spirit will come. So now, when we speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who have heard the gospel, and every one of us in here have heard the gospel. That means there is not one person in this gathering that is not going to be found guilty if he rejects the gospel. There's a guilt. The rejection is the sin. And the Holy Spirit has come to reprove the world of sin because they do not believe in Jesus. So, the contrast here of death And then there's life. And it doesn't just say life, it says eternal life. It's when we think of eternal life, we think of an ongoing, just forever. But it's an abiding life that just we receive that here even now. Apostle Paul speaks of death. He goes, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You are dead even right now if you have not accepted the free gift of grace. So you're already dead. And the separation from God, hell, which is at right here at the door, hell is present, ready to swallow you up. But Jesus is near. Jesus is actually nearer. He is inviting you and calling you today to come to follow him. Now, when that decision is made, I will give my life to Jesus. You don't know all the theologies of Scripture, and you don't need to know all those things immediately. That's where the hymn says, just as I am. It's as you are when you have come to your brokenness and realize that you are destined for hell. And it is a rightful wage that you have earned because you did not believe in Jesus. When you realize that and you turn to him, you are now being saved by his grace. And in that life of submission to Jesus, of yielding to him, submitting, yielding to him, your life, your spiritual life grows continually. I think all of us have heard and have thought it within our own selves when, you know, especially if we've been in faith many years, we think, you know, when I was baptized, I really didn't know. And you even start to question your own conversion, like, was I really converted? Because did I really understand that? No, you didn't understand, and we still won't understand until our dying breath what will be real be revealed to us, because we still see everything through a glass darkly. But what we have seen is Jesus, God, made manifest in the flesh. And what we've seen enough of him to know the way. And so mankind had an age that he lived in, and it was in fellowship with God. Think about that. And so God wants to return man to that age. It's the age of fellowship, the age of communion with him. That was broken. That was given in exchange for a conscience. Man traded away. What a deal he made, right? That he would give away the age of communion and fellowship with his Creator to a life with a conscience. Have you ever had a conscience that just ate at you, that eats at you, and he gives you no rest and no peace? That came when sin entered into the world. So, and then came the age of the law. The age of the law that came, and then when Jesus Christ came, it's the age of grace that we live in now. But it's not an abiding age that will go on and on. There's an end to it, as there was of the age of fellowship, the age of conscience, the age of the law, and the age of grace comes life eternal. You and I are being called to that life. Jesus wants to give us, to restore us today, back in being dead in your trespasses and sins, to be made alive in Christ. So when you make that decision by the guidance of the Spirit, by the call of the Spirit, and don't say you're not called tonight. I'm going to stress that. Don't say you're not called. You've chosen not to go where you have been called. That's it. It's a decision that you will make when you leave here. Every one of us, and every time we are with in hearing of the gospel, whether we are baptized in Christ or not, we are being called to a life of faithfulness, a life of service, of yielding to our Lord, our Creator, our God, the one who wants everything good for us. He loves us so much that He gave Himself for us. He entered into this world to give us this life. Contrast, death, eternal life. And so this eternal life, there's no wage for it. It's a gift. It's a gift that comes to you, my dear friend, through your belief in Jesus as He came to show God to you and to me. And to show us a way of which we would have no way of knowing the way unless He came to show us. And so He showed us the way. And we can embrace that or we can reject it. And the sin that you will be judged for is the sin of rejection of the Holy Spirit who came to reprove you of sin because you didn't believe in Him. So who gives this eternal life? It comes through the one who gave His life. And so, my dear friend, really, and I think about this sometime when I go home from church on a Sunday, and I think, okay, we just ended a day of worship. It's a full day, as it should be. It's a full day of worship that we give to the Lord. Don't be deceived and think, I can just come in the morning and I can forsake the rest. I don't need it. I came and I worship God. Now I'm going to have some family time. Family time? What do you have the rest of the week? This is time of giving it to the Lord. The day is hallowed. It's precious to us. We worship Him. And so we spend the day in worship. And now we leave here. And all of us, every one of us here, are going to go into our own situations, in our own struggles, life. Life is going to come at us hard and fast, really hard. Monday morning is waiting to just be thrown at us. And what will Sunday have meant to us? Was there a yielding of the soul and the spirit and the mind and the heart to go, I'm going with the Lord. I'm not going to be anxious about anything. I'm going to give my heart. I'm going to yield to Him. The way that He showed me is the way that I want to live. So now, in our yielding to Jesus, here's the beauty of the power of Christ. We are baptized in the death, the burial, the resurrection and ascension of Christ, and live in the power. So that which He calls us to by His grace, that what we receive by grace, He also empowers us to live as He sanctifies us through His blood, through His word, through His truth, His word. Again, the contrast of the world in the lie, in the scripture, the Bible, in the truth. The contrasts are very evident. And we will never know the truth unless we know the truth. So you can never know the counterfeit unless you put it up against the real thing. And the real thing is the gospel, which is His word before us. And unless you know it and spend time in the study of it, you won't know it. And so when a counterfeit comes your way, you will receive it gladly because it's received by the flesh. The flesh receives the counterfeit joyously, easily. and happily. And he goes on feeling that there's substance to it as we march straight to hell with a counterfeit Jesus and a counterfeit gospel. And so Satan will be here right now to show us that it's not strict as the preacher is saying that the word is. The word of God, look through it. It's all about sharp contrasts. And again, in over and over, the scripture tells us, even in the Psalms, we can find where God guiding Israel, he tells them, he speaks of the wrath that will come upon them. And here's what he says. And this is, again, the wage of sin. He says, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. So because you have not believed in God and trusted in him and his salvation, you have earned, you have rightfully received the wage, death. And now this death, the thing about this death, it's the separation from death itself. There is no dying in this death. And so, what is that sin? The sin of, what is creating the sin of unbelief in you tonight, my dear friend, that will cause you to leave here and say, yes, that's what I'm going to take? And you're not going to say that, of course. You're not going to say that. But just because you're silent in your decision doesn't mean that God doesn't record that in heaven. And the same thing with you and with me, my dear brother and sister. When we are convicted of our sin that may have become active in our own life, and I choose to say, who are you to tell me? Who are you to condemn me? No, when my brother speaks to me and I speak to you and we speak to one, we're not condemning one another. We bring truths out to bring us to back to the narrow way. And if I choose, again, and I'm not going to say it in those words, but if I choose to say, I'll take the wages of sin, well, that's what we'll receive. We'll never say that because we think we're good enough. And God's grace is going to be sufficient. The workings of grace come to you and to me when we believe in him. When we believe in him, we yield to him. We learn of him. We trust him. We trust in his salvation. And the gift, you didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. But the gift that you will receive is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is my prayer for each of us, for myself and all of us this evening, that this word would, just this verse, which is so brief, everything weighs on it, the decisions we make. It's very, very clear. It's very clear. You know, Paul speaks of a world without end. World without end. This is the age that is to come. There's eternal life that is being offered. And what he offers, he empowers through his death and through his resurrection. That's where you and I live on today, this side of the cross, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit given to us, unity with him, in union, in communion with Jesus Christ, whom we just read this past Sunday, in whom all power is given. He gives us that power to live a life of victory. No, don't say, well, I'm just a weak Christian. Where'd you find that in the Bible? I'm just weak. God's just going to accept me as a weakling. The weakness comes from holding on to something in that broad way that is leading me straight to hell. I'm holding on to it. That's where the weakness comes in. You got to let go of that and take a hold of Jesus. That's where the power is. That's where the victory is. And that's where eternal life is. May he bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.
Word certainly has been delivered clearly in this evening. And as I ponder how the Lord would want to close our time together, I was reminded that Jesus, after his resurrection, revealed himself to two disciples. And he opened to them the scriptures and spoke of himself. And the way that time of meditation on the scriptures closed was like this. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" That would be a fitting closing. When we hear of Jesus Christ and the gift of grace, that we would be disciples whose hearts are burning within us for the love and the truth that he shared. So may God bless his word to that end, that we might hear the word of God and keep it. Amen.